Paul asked me to tell you about something I was thankful for and how that made a difference. So I thought about that, and I was thinking about when I was a little girl. I was about 9, and maths was a great puzzle to me. I couldn't work out takeaways, and multiplication and long division was a complete mystery. And my mother must have been worrying about that and talking to some of her friends. And a young woman in the church who was at teachers' college said to my mother, "Well, I'll come round every morning in the school holidays and see if I can sort her out, because that will be good practice for me and it will maybe help Melody." So she came round, and I was not thankful about that at all, I can tell you. I was horrified that not only did I have to spend my school holidays doing schoolwork, but the schoolwork I had. But, you know, that really paid off. And by the time I went back to school after the holidays, I didn't have to sit there feeling stupid and mystified in class anymore. I could understand what was going on. And over the years, I became more and more thankful, especially when I went to high school. And I was able to help a few of the other girls who were struggling then with the basics. And then when Wendy Jemison suggested doing a homework help program for Lighthouse, she said a lot of these kids could really do with someone to just help them with the basics. I was straight away on board with that idea. I said, "Oh, that's a really good idea," because, you know, my own experience that just that bit of help could make such a difference to someone's life. And so for almost 20 years, I helped out at Homework Help, just trying to sort kids out with the very basics and giving them a bit of encouragement and a leg up. So that's how something that I was thankful for.
When Paul asked me the question, I thought, "Oh, great, that means I could just Google what am I thankful for and use somebody else's answer for it." But I thought, "Oh no, better not, better just use my original material." So what are we thankful for? No, what I'm thankful for, if anybody was here or listening, Brody's sermon last week, he was like, he touched on when you come to service and you become fat on sermons. So it's like the sermons and the words are pouring in you, but what are you doing to pour it out? So I just thought, oh yeah, that's a good thing to talk about. So when I come to church, I'm just thankful for all the sermons and the advice that I get. So I'm getting fed, but how am I releasing it? So with Harvey, with our hospital journey, I just pretty much like to pour it out to other mums that struggle. And I guess also with my family, how can I stand strong in faith? And it's just such a blessing when you just come to church and you just get all these, I guess, amazing, awesome stories, and you're just able to set good examples, not only to your family, but to other people within hospital. And I say this is because we'll be going into hospital next month, and I just thought, okay, Lord, fill me up, because not only would I need it, I know that there'll be other people that we would meet and greet, and they would need the same thankfulness and grateful with all the knowledge that I have, and just pass it on to others. Spread the word, spread what our church has to offer. And I guess with everything that we've got going, I can also help them promote our services that we've got going, especially with prayer group, play group, and also our Sunday services, and having Harvey. I'm just truly thankful. strength, the compassion, and the guidance I can, you know, pass out. So yeah, so that's me.
Two readings from the Bible today. Charm is going to read our first one, and then Roger will follow up.
Yes.
Keep speaking, and eventually you'll get heard.
Our reading today is from Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt and negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man." Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned about the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
The New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May these readings be a blessing to your hearts.
We have just come through a time where we have been giving thanks for the greatest gift that we could ever receive, Jesus coming into our world and coming into our lives. We have also, I suspect most of us, probably all of us, have been through a time where we have enjoyed presents, we have enjoyed food and drink that was a bit special, and we have enjoyed time with family and friends. So we've had an abundance just recently, for most of us, of the material things of life. The research tells us that we put on most of our weight when we gain weight between sometime about mid-November and early January, and I think I'm demonstrating some of that as we speak. So as a nation of Australians, we are very fortunate. And today I want to explore something about thankfulness, because it seems the message is that if you are given much, then you have much to be thankful for, and that holds some ramifications. So how is life in Australia? How's it going? Sometimes we have a whinge, as Australians are wont to do from time to time, but there's a group called the OECD countries, the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development. And they're the, by and large, the well-off countries. They're not the poor ones. But even amongst them, Australia has the best, or amongst the best, air quality. Our household disposable income was amongst the highest in the OECD. So even amongst the wealthy countries, we're well off. A high share of Australians report good or very good health. Balanced against that, more Australians report that they're struggling with what's called the work-life balance. So they work takes more and life takes less. That's a challenge. Only 64% of Australians feel safe walking alone at night, which is lower than the average, even though our crime rates are falling and victimisation, people who are usually victims, come from a pretty narrow class of our society. So sometimes we don't realise how good it is. So today I want us to think about doing this.
Thank you very much.
Okay, remember to say thank you very much. For those who don't know who that was Elvis Presley, known as the King, although probably he should have been called the King of Rock and Roll, because we worship the real King. So just remember Elvis as you go through the week, if you don't take anything else away. So that's probably a bit hard to read, but the blue side shows that Norway is the happiest country in the world. This was measured income, life expectancy, social support, personal freedom, lack of corruption, generosity in the community. So we've got Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Switzerland, Finland, Netherlands, Canada, and wait for it, New Zealand is number 8 and Australia's number 9. They can beat us at rugby, not much else, but they're still happier than we are. The orange ones are the saddest countries. The last is the Central African Republic, and its happiness level is about a third, or just a bit more than a third, of Australia's. And most of the other countries in that orange group are African countries. And it doesn't take much reading of the press or watching television to work out why, when you hear about some of the natural problems they have, and then also the wars and the civil strife that they have. So always I would challenge you to remember how lucky we are. But why is it that Australians still complain? Now, and saying this, I don't think you guys are a pack of whingers. I hear complaints from people in this congregation from time to time, but I think if the happiness index was taken from the people here, we might even beat New Zealand, I don't know. But just in case you're tempted to be unhappy, and just as you're analysing our community, one of the things that people talk about is a sense of entitlement. We think we deserve something better. We think we deserve a better government. We think we deserve a better job. We think that our family owes us more than we get from our family. And I'm talking both about parents and children here. And often some of the research says that we compare ourselves with the people above us and we want what they've got rather than seeing the people who are who are on the rungs below us. Some of you will know I sort of still am a magistrate, and magistrates get a really good financial reward and good work conditions and all that sort of thing. But I used to want to slap some of my colleagues who would grizzle because we weren't getting the same as district court judges, and they're the next step up the totem pole from us. And I thought, what are you on about? What are you on about? We're at a high level of financial remuneration in a country that itself is doing pretty well. So if you're tempted to compare yourself, remember who you should compare yourself with. I wonder if we would be happier if we were more thankful for what we've got. So what are some of the things we need to be thankful for? Nature, people, freedom, Jesus, the forgiveness that comes from Jesus and salvation. Oops, sorry. So there's a bunch of things that are profound things, wonderful things embedded in our creation that we should be thankful for. They're also simple things. And in fact, this is the next thing that I'm going to play is the inspiration for my message today. And it was sparked by Raina, who works in our front office. So I hope the video comes up. No? It's not happening. Sorry. I'll just go back a nudge.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
It's not working. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It is? Oh, sorry. I can't see it up there.
Hey, Christine! You're here too! Mm. I love you!
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming. It goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does!
Rain down the glorious water!
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food!
I love food. What? A briefcase? Are you gonna have work? This is awesome! Look, listen here.
Steve,
the what?
Dad, be careful!
Oh. I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
Thank you.
So that was the genesis of today's message. So one of the takeaways I'd like you to have is just be thankful. Thankful for the ordinary things that we have. And the Bible encourages us to be thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. Okay, that's the relatively easy or an easier part of the message. The next part of the message is that we are encouraged to be thankful in all circumstances. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Are we thankful? Should our Chinese brothers and sisters be thankful for the circumstances that they're in? Should I be thankful if my parents are going through a divorce? Should I be thankful if I know that I'm dying? Should I be thankful that for the President of the United States? The short answer is no, because you've got to. It's always worthwhile reading the Bible carefully. Be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. So God is encouraging us to understand that in every situation there will be an opportunity to give thanks. Even if the world is going to hell in a handbasket, God is still with us. Even if the world is falling apart for us, we have salvation. Even if things are a total mess and we don't know where to go, the Spirit is there to encourage us and support us. Easy for someone like me to say, harder for others to do. So our practical example of this was Daniel. So Daniel is a young Jewish guy, gets taken off with a whole bunch of other talented young Jewish men from Jerusalem to Babylon. They're to work as slaves. Daniel manages to get himself into the sphere of the king because he is the absolute standout at interpreting dreams. So he then becomes part of the talented young men of that society and is taught a lot of things, how to run government, and has a meteoric rise in the bureaucracy of the Babylonians, who are ultimately the Medes and the Persians. And he became one of the most senior people in the administration of King Darius. Now, King Darius had a kingdom that covered pretty much all the Middle East, into Eastern Europe, and into northern parts of Africa. So he was the most powerful person, at least in that part of the world, at that time. But Darius, like all kings, had a bit of an inflated sense of his own importance. So when these people came to him and said, well, you're the guy who should be worshipped and nobody else, of course Darius said, oh, well, thank you, yes. He didn't think about it. So he made this decree that he was the only one to be worshipped. Daniel saw it differently. Daniel, even knowing about the decree, went and did what he always did, and he knew that a den of lions was waiting for him. Remember the Sunday school story? He knew that was what lay ahead of him, but he still went to his room, and what did he do? He gave thanks. So he knew that he was going to be in strife. So Daniel was somebody who was not thankful for his situation. I guess he was petrified. But he found a reason to be thankful in his situation. So when life is difficult, again, I would encourage you to just find something for which you can give thanks. And there was a guy I was reading recently who said, asked the question, is the glass half empty or half full? Just be thankful you've got a glass. Simple. Okay. Another story about thankfulness is the story of the 10 lepers. So the lepers were outcasts. They probably didn't have what we understand as leprosy, but another medical condition. We don't need to know about that. But they were treated perhaps even worse than people in our community who have HIV/AIDS, because they were cast out. If they came near other people, they had to yell out unclean, unclean, to warn people away from them. People rejected them, their families rejected them. They couldn't even go to worship. And contact with a leper made the person who was in contact also unclean. And you had to go through a process at the temple in order to be made clean again. So these 10 guys call out for mercy. They want to be relieved of their physical and their spiritual suffering, and they obviously have an idea that Jesus is able to do that. So they already clearly know something or have heard something about Jesus. And Jesus keeps it simple. He just tells them to go to the priests who will certify that they are no longer unclean. They didn't have to go through any hoops. They didn't, nothing special. They didn't have to earn it. And off they go, all 10 of them. How many of the lepers do you think were thankful for what Jesus had done for them? Any numbers? All of them. Got a couple of wise women here who are saying 10. I think that's right. I think all of them would have been extremely thankful for this radical change in their life. But the Bible story is there for a reason. So it tells us that only one person acted out his thankfulness. The other 9 would have raced off to the priests, got the certificate of cleanliness, probably gone to their families and said, "Hey, look at me." But one guy came back. And what do we know about that one person? He was a Samaritan. So, and again, in terms of modern parallels, I think the Samaritans are a bit like Jehovah's Witness without the pushiness. So they were sort of believers, but were regarded by the Jews as lesser people. So this guy, this Samaritan guy, was the only person who came back and said thank you to Jesus. And I don't think it was because he had further to go to visit his family and say, "Here I am." I think it was because he understood more than the others what the blessing was. And he had in his heart the right sort of heart that said, that knew that he had to demonstrate his thankfulness. And as it is so often in the Bible, it's not the people at the heart of the religious community that understand Jesus better. It's the people who are often the outcasts, the people on the fringe. And that's something we would do well to remember. So I'm being a bit semantic here. Thankfulness is what all of the 10 lepers felt. Giving thanks is what the one guy did. And what I would encourage all of us to do today is to remember the distinction between thankfulness and giving thanks. Our faith is not just something that we feel inside, in our hearts and in our head, and doesn't go anywhere. Our faith is a faith that is an action faith. And if there's not action, then it's a pretty deadly experience. So today, I'd encourage you at some stage just to sit down, take a quiet time, and think of something that you're thankful for and hold on to that thankfulness. Some people actually have a Christian gratitude journal. So every so often they write down what they're thankful for. Sometimes it's a prayer journal. They're thankful for prayers that are answered. Sometimes it's just, wow, this is something else I've got to be thankful for. If that works for you, go for it. But after you've worked out what you're thankful for, can I encourage you, thankfulness journal slide. Can I encourage you to put it into action? It might just be writing a card or a letter or an email. It's interesting just how much that means to people who have been givers of gifts. It might mean just giving somebody a hug and a kiss and saying, thanks. Thanks, Mum. You're wonderful. Thanks, Mum. It could be something practical. There was, as some of you know, I'm involved in Habitat for Humanity in Australia, and this is a bunch of our volunteers, but I was reading recently about a woman in the US who had received a Habitat for Humanity house, and that had made a big difference in her life. And as a result of that, she was volunteering with Habitat for Humanity in the US, but had also taken on a role of leading teams that went to Africa and made a difference in Africa. And that was her way of acting out her thankfulness. Of course, there's another way of being thankful. You can give to charity. If you're feeling especially thankful, you might put a bit extra in the plate next Sunday or in the red bag next Sunday. But money can be an easy way of being thankful, but it can also be a challenging way. So that's just another way of doing it. But the bottom line is the best way to be thankful is to give yourself. So, and if you can't read that, the thumb is hope. I'm not quite sure why the thumb is hope, but anyway, it was a great slide. I can't even read it. What's the time, heart, talent, what? Treasures. Okay. I didn't write it out here. I should have done. So these are things that we can give. We can only give them because God has first given to us. So please, in the coming week, spend some time. What am I thankful for? What does it mean? Even things like, and I'll finish up here. I remember Peter gave a sermon a few years ago. I do pay attention some of the time. Where he encouraged us to start our day by saying, thank you, God, for the day that you've given me. It's a great start to the day. And I think when I remember to do it, it actually does make a difference for the way I approach the day. I think when we are thankful, it does make a difference in our lives and in the lives of other people. Let's pray. God, we can't stop being thankful because your gifts to us are way, way, way more than we can ever give thanks for. So we just want to say simply thank you, and we want to ask you to help us in the coming week and in the rest of our lives to be people who are characterized by a spirit of giving thanks, putting our thanks into action. Amen.